Let me invite you over to the book of Exodus chapter 10, verse 24. Exodus chapter 10, verse 24.
Exodus chapter 10, verse 24 reads this way. It says, "And Pharaoh called unto Moses and said, Go ye, serve the Lord, only let your flocks and your herds be stayed. Let your little ones also go with you." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne tonight. And Lord, we thank you again for the promise and the blessing that you are in our midst. And Lord, we ask for the blessing of your Holy Spirit to guide our hearts and minds to hear from you. Lord, that you would speak to our hearts, draw us closer to you, empower our lives by your Holy Spirit, that we might be the witnesses that you've called us to be. And then, Lord, to experience a powerful relationship with you and Lord, with one another, that we might be able to be used as your servants, and we'll be careful to give you all the praise, for we ask this in Jesus' name, amen. The title of the message tonight is, Go Ye, Serve the Lord. Go Ye, Serve the Lord. As we consider this account tonight, we're really looking at an ungodly or an unbelieving leader in Pharaoh, and he's prescribing to believers the way of worshiping our God. Can he possibly do that? Can an unbeliever possibly give you a recommendation to honor and glorify the Lord? Can somebody who knows nothing about God, amen, has never had an experience personally with him, tell you or I how we're to worship, how we should worship? Because they'll tell you all different kinds of things. I would venture to say that if you were to ask the lost world, the unbelieving world, how you should worship, they probably could tell you that you could do that on the beach on a Sunday. And if there was alcohol and other things taking place, it would be all right. God would understand. But that's not the way God has called us to worship, has he? They could probably say, oh, listen, you don't even have to go. You could just go every now and then. You don't have to be so fanatical about it and go every Sunday or every Wednesday. And yet the Lord has told us what he wants us to do. And then the Spirit of the Lord guides us into doing those things, right? And so really the lost world has no business, but they do make it their business to judge. Isn't that amazing? The very first thing that the lost world, I think the lost world's favorite verse, can you tell me what it might be? Judge not. Judge not. You're judging me. Judge not. Hey, listen, you know what? We're not their judge. It's not my job, and I wouldn't want it. Amen? But it's God's job. And by the way, the Bible says we're already judged. That's what they don't understand. We've already been judged in our sins, and we're already condemned. We're condemned already. What God has come to offer us that the world doesn't realize is freedom in the Lord Jesus Christ. So it's important that we know what God personally is asking of us, and that we worship him as he's called us to, and not allow the dictates of unbelievers to sway, discourage, or divert us from what God has directed us to do. And tonight I just want to look at a couple of things tonight concerning Pharaoh's compromise, Moses' commitment, Pharaoh's contest, and also the audience of the Lord's conversation. We'll consider that tonight just for a few moments here. Look at verse 24. And look at Pharaoh's compromise. And Pharaoh called unto Moses and said, Go ye, serve the Lord. He's experienced these plagues, these 10 plagues. And by the way, this last one, it says it was a darkness that could even be felt. Have you ever experienced something like that? That sounds creepy enough already. A darkness that could be felt. I don't think we've experienced what the Egyptians experienced when God put darkness upon Egypt. But in the land of Goshen, there was light amongst God's people. Isn't that good? In the midst of darkness that could be felt, the people of God were in the light. And you and I can be so also. So he says, only let your flocks and your herds be stayed. Let your little ones also go with you. Now, before they didn't want the little ones to go. They wanted them to stay at home. And it's unfortunate when parents don't take their children to church if they're going to church. I've heard some of the craziest, I don't know if you call them explanations or ideas or philosophies. We want to let them make up their minds. I mean, we're talking, 9, 10-year-olds, 11, 12-year-olds. We don't want to force this on them. And I one time, I don't know, do you ask them to go to school? Because if you would ask me at nine or 10 years old, I'd say, I'd like to take the day off today. I think I could find something else better to do in my eyes that really wouldn't have been better for me. And so the world is always trying to push us or conform us to what they think instead of what God is saying. And then notice what Moses says. I want you to see his commitment here in verse 25. It says this, "And Moses said, thou must give us also sacrifices and burnt offerings that we may sacrifice unto the Lord our God." He's being kind, but he's saying what's needed. He's not really asking. Then notice this, "Our cattle also shall go with us. There shall not an hoof be left behind." I think he's pretty emphatic about what he needs, don't you? Not a hoof. We're taking all of them with us. And then he says this, "For therefore must we take to serve the Lord our God, and we know not with what we must serve the Lord until we come thither. But the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart that he would not let them go." So here we find this commitment that Moses has. We find this compromise that Pharaoh is trying to put upon the children of God. And then I want you to see this contest that's had here with Pharaoh here in verse 28. "And Pharaoh said unto them, get thee from me, take heed to thyself, see my face no more, for in that day that thou seest my face, thou shalt surely die." That's a threat. I think he meant it, don't you? He had gone through 10 plagues here, or 9 plagues, and he was probably tired of them. And he was fearful in one regard when he was making concessions. Moses didn't buy it. And so that makes the world angry. I'm giving you a good deal. No, you're not giving me anything. God gives me everything. And that's where Moses was standing. Now listen, it's not easy to be in that place. And yet, let me just say this, it is easy to be in that place. If we're in the Lord, we'll make that kind of a stand, because it won't be our strength, it'll be the Lord's strength in us. And that's exactly where Moses was, because Moses was a meek man, a very meek man. And that's how he was described in the scriptures. And meekness has this idea: I don't look down on anybody, but I don't look up to anybody either. I only look up to God. In other words, I have the same respect for the vagabond as I would the statesman, right? As I would for Pharaoh. I'll give them respect with meekness, but I'm not treating somebody better than the other. But when it comes to the Lord, He's Lord over all. And so he says, "Listen, I'm set now." Here's an important question. Did the Lord know everything that Moses was going to confront when he was making a stand for his God? Let me ask you that again. Did the Lord know everything Moses was going to confront in Pharaoh when he was making his stand for the Lord? All right, let me ask you this question. Does the Lord know everything that you and I are going to confront when we stand for the Lord? We need to be solidified in that, because our God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He never changes. Now, we're going to look at some interesting things, and maybe you've noticed them before, but something just kind of popped out to me that I never took note of before, and that's going to be this last thought here, and that is the audience of the Lord's conversation. Now, notice what it says here in verse 28 again. It says, "And Pharaoh said unto him, get thee from me." What is he saying when he says, "Get thee from me"? Get out. "Take heed to thyself, see my face no more, for in that day that thou seest my face, thou shalt die." Now, listen to Moses' answer. "And Moses said, thou hast spoken well, I will see thy face again no more." He didn't say he was going to die. He said, "Thou hast answered, you're not going to see my face." How did Moses know that? Who gave Moses that assurance? The Lord did. This is the kind of communion. Listen, you and I are a royal priesthood in the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you not have direct access to the throne of God? Does God not want you to seek His will so that you might know His will for your life? Nobody on earth but yourself can know the will of God for you. And this is what the will of God is: His direction in your life and in my life. So in other words, we're not playing games with the Lord. We're saying, well, this is okay with me and the Lord or whatever. No, what we're talking about is God's direction. So when you're confronted with things concerning spiritual things, you know what God has commanded you and the direction he's leading you in. So with confidence, you can, like with David, stand against the giants. And like Joseph, even when the pressure's turned on, you can stay the course because you know you're in the Lord's hands, even if falsely accused by Potiphar's wife. Even if falsely imprisoned, you can still stand. All right, so very quickly, let's move on. And here's what I want you to see. So at this particular point, he says, you're not going to see my face anymore. Notice verse 1 here of chapter 11, and we're looking at the audience of the Lord's conversation. And the Lord said unto Moses, yet will I bring one plague more upon Pharaoh and upon Egypt. Afterwards, he will let you go hence. When he shall let you go, he shall surely thrust you out hence altogether. Now, who's in this conversation? How many people? Two people, right? But there's really three there. And you're going to see this here in just a moment. It is Moses and the Lord. And Moses and the Lord are having this conversation. But Pharaoh is still there. Moses has not left yet. And you're going to see that here in just a moment. And Pharaoh is going to hear. He's going to see what God is giving him an opportunity. Listen, here's the mercy of God. People can look at this and get angry with the Lord for what he brought upon Egypt. But my goodness, he's been very merciful time and time again, bringing these things to pass, and yet they're hardening their hearts. Now, you're going to see, it's going to say that the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, but I'm going to tell you what that is. What happened is the Lord created another trial, an opportunity for Pharaoh to repent, but he would not. And so that hardens the heart of the individual. God brings things into our lives to humble us, does he not? Does God like pride?
No.
There are six, the book of Proverbs tells us, yea, seven things that are not just detestable, but an abomination to God. And pride is one of them. And so he says this, verse 2, speak now in the ears of the people, and let every man borrow of his neighbor and every woman of her neighbor jewels of silver and jewels of gold. Now, I want you to get this picture. Pharaoh's there, and Moses is talking with the Lord. And God is giving Moses direction. Now, this is important, because the direction that he's getting is preparing to make, as the book is called, the Exodus from Egypt. So the Lord is communicating to Moses these things. Listen, this is a good place to be. Moses is getting an earful from God of what he's getting ready to do. Do you think there's any fear in the heart of Moses toward Pharaoh? Just as there were, listen, David was just as sure when he was going up against Goliath. He said, this is no problem. Why? Because he knew physically it was an impossibility for him to defeat the lion and the bear. He knew that God had graciously intervened in a powerful way in his life. And so when God had spoken to him, and I cannot tell you exactly how, but there's no doubt in my mind that God told him, you're the one, I'm wanting you to go against that giant, when he spoke to David. Just as God is speaking to Moses here, I am convinced that God spoke to David. I am convinced that God will give you and I the assurance that we need if we seek him, like he's called us to walk confidently in faith, and that's the inner word trust there, to our God. God does not want wishy-washy, tumbleweed Christians wavering back and forth. He wants us to be assured, and the only way we can do that is not in our strength, but in the Lord's. And he wants to reveal that to us as believers. So look what happens here. So he tells them, this is what I want you to do. I want you to borrow of your neighbor, every woman of her neighbor, jewels of silver and jewels of gold. Now, they've been in captivity for 430 years. And I'm convinced that God is going to see to it that even at the hands of the people that persecuted them, that they would be recompensed for. And I don't completely understand all of that, but I will tell you this, God is just, even if I don't understand it. And I promise you this, everybody, when they see God face to face, and everybody will, they will say the same thing. God is just, and He is Lord. And they will bend the knee, and they will confess. And I don't understand all of that, but they will see the truth, and it will be undeniable. You know, there are people that can lie right to your face, right? No one can lie to the face of God. Everybody will confess the truth. Okay. So he says this, verse 3, and the Lord gave the people favor. So he's speaking here in the sight of the Egyptians. Moreover, the man Moses was very great in the land of Egypt, in the sight of Pharaoh's servants and in the sight of the people. So in the sight of those that were in the palace of Pharaoh and in the sight amongst the common people, God gave favor to Moses. Do you think Moses saw that favor? Do you think that he saw that respect? Absolutely, he saw it. What is this doing for Moses? This is solidifying, and God is demonstrating his promise that he's with him. He's telling him all these things are going to take place, and Moses is noticing the people, and he's saying, I see it. I see it. It's exactly as you said it. God wants us to be so in tune with his word that we find that God means exactly what he says in his word. And so he says, I'm going to do this for you in the sight of the people. Verse 4, and Moses said, thus saith the Lord, listen to this, about midnight will I go out into the midst of Egypt. And so now Moses is speaking. What is he speaking? What God has already told him. Who's he speaking it to? He's speaking it to Pharaoh. He's saying, listen, at midnight, around midnight, when's midnight? If anybody ought to be sleeping, it ought to be around midnight, right? I mean, for sure, you know, it's not. You're not just happening to wake up. It's not at 4 o'clock in the morning or 5 o'clock in the morning. It's at midnight. God is wanting them to know when He's going to do what He's going to do in His judgment against Egypt, so there can be no doubt. It'll be just like God said it. All right. And by the way, listen. This does not bring God any pleasure. I want you to know this. It is still true that God, it grieves God to bring this kind of judgment on the people that He gave us His Son for. He's not willing that any should perish, but He is a holy and righteous God. And He will mete out judgment. He extends mercy first. 9 plagues, 10 coming up, 10 times, nobody will be able to say, oh God, you were so unjust with Egypt. 10 times, they said no. All right? So, he says, about midnight will I go out into the midst of Egypt. And then he specifically says, and all the firstborn in the land of Egypt shall die, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sitteth upon his throne, even unto the firstborn of the maidservant that is behind the mill, and all the firstborn of beasts. I mean, this is not going to just be people. It's going to be everything. So you're going to know. It's not just something that happened to humans. God's judging Egypt. And there shall be a great cry throughout all the land of Egypt, such as there was none like it, nor shall be like it anymore. So you and I have no concept of what kind of cry that is. It's not been since that time. But against any of the children of Israel shall not a dog move his tongue. Do you know what that means? No barking. No barking. You know, listen, if you are moving around at a stranger's house and they've got a dog, typically they're going to bark. Now, if you come to my house, I got about a 7-pound poodle that knows who we are. We'll walk through that door and she'll just bark like she don't know us. Every time she'll bark at us, and I'm like, it's us. You're barking at the wrong people. But the Lord says here, there's no barking at all. That's amazing. Okay, so notice this. Let me back up the verse 7. But against any of the children of Israel shall not a dog move his tongue against man or beast. So the dog's not going to bark at men or beast, that ye may know that the Lord doth put a difference between the Egyptians and Israel. Isn't that amazing? They're not even, I don't know, God's just going to shut that off. And all thy servants shall come down unto me and bow down themselves unto me, saying, get thee out. And all the people follow, listen, that follow thee. And after that, I will go out. And he went out from Pharaoh in great anger. Did you hear that? Did you see that? He was standing in the presence of Pharaoh. Look at that again in verse 8. And all these thy servants shall come down unto me and bow down themselves unto me. He's telling Pharaoh this. All your servants, they're going to give me favor. They're going to come down to me and bow down themselves to me, saying, get thee out, and all the people that follow thee. And after that, I will go out. And he went out from Pharaoh in great anger. Moses was not happy with Pharaoh. Because I'm thinking, and this is conjecture on my part, he's mad at his hard-headedness, at his pride and stubbornness. He's willing to allow all the people to suffer because he will not submit to God. And he's telling him, you're not exempt either. And so Moses was not a very happy individual at this particular point. And here's Pharaoh saying, go ye serve the Lord. And there's no humility at all in Pharaoh. And let's just finish these last two verses. And the Lord said unto Moses, Pharaoh shall not hearken unto you. Why did he tell him that? Well, because Moses was put out. And he's wanting him to understand, he'll not hearken to you. Why? That my wonders may be multiplied in the land of Egypt. And Moses and Aaron did all these wonders before Pharaoh. And the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart so that he would not let the children of Israel go out of his land. Isn't that amazing? This is the ideology of the world. But I want to tell you, God's will not be thwarted. It would be better for you and I to have our hands holding the hands of God and following him than to be deceived and to follow anybody who knows not the Lord. There can only be destruction in that. The world without God destroys not only themselves, not only lifts up their heart against themselves, but also against their posterity as well. They are so adamantly, and we've read in the book of Romans, when they knew God, they did not worship or acknowledge him as God, and therefore, you know, God gives them over to that reprobate mind where they're so smart they convince themselves they're right. There's coming a day, isn't there? Is there not? There's coming a day where they will all see the Lord. And in just a brief moment, they'll realize that we made the wise decision. And why? Oh, the grace of God. The grace of God. It's beyond me. I don't say that lightly. I'm thankful that I've trusted the Lord as my Savior. But that's a work of the Lord. And a work of saying, yes, Lord, I need you. And so, not only for salvation, but for every day, that we might walk confidently. Do you think God wants us to walk confidently, with confidence like Moses did? God wants us to know what he's doing. But that's not going to take place if we're filling up our lives and our time and not giving God anything. Not giving God anything. You've got to talk to him. And you could talk to him anywhere. It's true. You can. Talk to him. Turn the radio off in the car. You'll be surprised what you'll get out of the Lord by just talking with him and asking him, Lord, I want to honor you, and I need you to do that in me. Lord, I want to experience you the way you want me to experience you in my life. Watch what God will do. And he'll draw you to his word. He'll give you the strength to not get cluttered up and clouded up with the things of the world, that you might pause for a moment and open up the Word of God and seek him and experience him, not just because it's duty, but because it's an experience with the Lord. It's a building of our faith. So be reminded of that tonight, God wants us all to be as confident in our faith in the Lord as Moses was. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word, the wisdom and understanding that it brings, and Lord, the confidence that we can have that you've already provided for. I pray, Lord, that we would seek you as you've called us to by your grace with all of our heart, mind, and soul. Lord, we ask that you would be with the rest of the evening as we break off for prayer. May you be honored and glorified as we call upon you, and we'll give you all the praise. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.